show that Mr. Weissman and Mr. Geltner are here and Mr. Hall is away. And the minutes have been checked by the board electronically and will be signed as distributed and corrected. And we are looking at other business and Todd and Michelle.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have very wet and rambling notes here in no apparent order. It's been a busy couple of weeks for us. Starting, I guess, with fairgrounds usage, thank you guys for bailing out the armory and letting the 4-H clubs meet in the livestock barn. Sue Giles, who runs our dog club, also does a public dog obedience training and has been displaced by the armory as well. She's offering to pay what she would at the armory, and we can accommodate it in the schedule. It would mean $150 of revenue for this term of obedience school. I told her we couldn't do it for free, obviously, but she's offering to pay what she would have paid at the armory anyway. It's Wednesday for I think 9 weeks, and she is insured, and she'd be more than willing to write a check back to the county for that service. I told her that I would bring that to the board and make sure that was okay.
I know Sue, and she's a professional dog trainer and so forth, and I have no problem with that.
Doesn't require a motion.
Okay. Perfect. I'll let her know. We'll make the arrangements. I did speak with Rick at K&K Toilets. He's our portable toilet vendor based on our discussions from last month, and he's got us covered. He's been turning away business. His statement to me was, Todd, I turned down some people in Lincoln City because I knew you were going to be busy, and we absolutely have you covered. I told him that we wanted to at least double our order and then probably add some additional stuff to the little vendor city that we're talking about at the corner of 7th and Harney. He said, no problem, we've got you covered.
Do you know, or did you find out in your conversation with him, is he completely sold out?
He's not at this point completely sold out. He had more than enough stuff to accommodate us, but he made it sound like, yes, he's getting a lot of phone calls and he's going to be a very, very busy man that weekend.
Well, this subject came up at a meeting on the Eclipse, which, of course, is the Monday following the fair.
Right.
And my kind of comment to those folks was that I know that people are, the campgrounds, the motels and everything are all gone.
Yeah.
And that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to show up in town, and they're just going to park wherever they can, like, say, the school parking lot or the fairgrounds or whatever it is. And I made the suggestion that one of the things we ought to do to prepare for this is people are going to have a place to go. So what we ought to do is just rent a whole bunch of porta-potties and scatter them all over these various areas, like the school parking lots, the fairgrounds, and any place else where we think people might congregate, to give them some place to go.
Man.
It's going to have to happen.
Yeah.
But the thing that I got out of that meeting was somebody had said that they had talked to some of the vendors and that they were already completely sold out, and that's why I'm asking you about him.
Yeah.
The second part of my question is, the ones that he's going to rent us, are they going to be left in place or available Monday?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Through Monday.
Absolutely.
I think that's going to be a huge problem. It's going to be a huge health issue.
Yeah.
Come Monday.
He didn't collect until Tuesday or Wednesday before anyway, so.
Okay,
yeah.
Because if the amount of people show up in this town that they're talking about potentially might show up.
Yeah. It's going to be a crazy weekend. There's no doubt about that.
It's going to be just plain nuts.
Yeah. Todd, when you say double the amount, we're talking about.
So, I think last year we had, if I remember, we had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I think we had 8 or 9 last year, and so we're talking about as many as 20 probably by the time we set up that area at 7th and Harney as well. Plus, we'll do extra hand washing stations, probably one out there and maybe one out by the rodeo grounds. So we'll have 3 hand washing stations instead of 1. And I'm still looking for a portable water trailer showers that we can roll in there too. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find that or not.
Are you confining the location of your porta potties to just the fairgrounds, or are you going to spread them a little bit in the adjacent areas, like, say, the school parking lots? Or
we hadn't had any plan to do the school parking lots. We were definitely going to get 7th and Harney covered, the sort of the north end of the fairgrounds covered better than we have. We usually put one out there, and I assume we're going to have more 4-H people likely camping out there, so we'll put extra ones there, and then all over the fairgrounds proper. I hadn't really thought of putting them, you know, at schools or I guess I felt like it probably wasn't even my business to think about putting them in the school parking lots. That's their business, in my mind.
The one thing I was wondering, Todd, if it would help you guys at all, if maybe you want to think about this a little bit too, especially if this guy's going to be delivering, you know, 100 or 150 of them, you know, throughout the county, if it would help if, and maybe we talk to the city a little bit more about when we close Harney Street. So they can reposition those. I think we normally close it on the Wednesday before, isn't it?
Tuesday before was my recollection.
Yeah, Tuesday or Monday, but it's early.
And maybe that's early enough if it's on Tuesday that it gives him enough lead time that we can be one of the first ones he delivers to.
Yeah.
You know, so that we're not competing with him as he's...
But maybe we should do it Monday night or by Tuesday morning versus Tuesday night, just so we've got that whole...
And we want to pass it on to Roy.
I didn't bring my pen.
We had that discussion with the city, but that may be something we want.
Yeah, I'll make a note to contact Roy, and we'll be sure that we get that done by Monday night.
Could we get, say, two of the ones that you're talking about placed up in the parking lot area of the road department offices, you know, up on the hill there? People park up and down 7th Street and park in the road department office structures.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, I'm expecting that to happen on Monday, obviously. And so I think it would be really robust if we can
put one right.
Put a couple up there in the vicinity of the road office. And I see Roy Kenyon has showed up.
So yeah.
Forget the
story. His ears were burning. Come on in, Roy.
We're talking about porta potties, and you have clips on Mendy, and of course, I've talked with you about it. And you know, expect people that are going to park just any place and every place that they can, including like up around our office structure. Todd is ordering more porta potties for this coming event than what he usually orders. I think we ought to have a couple up, like in the office parking lot, someplace for people to park on 7th and park in our lot up there. I'm expecting that to happen. You are made arrangements, or have you any plans to cover that?
We are going to be open for business on Monday.
Yeah.
And so I don't see, I really don't want porta potties out there.
Okay.
I mean, because...
Forget it then.
Although Roy, not for Roy, but for Todd, you kind of raised an interesting question for us. And I don't know, Roy, you've been part of that process with the group that's been doing it. I don't know if you got to this point here, but it's the kind of thing that you know, we also have a huge public parking lot out here. Do we want to put a porta potty in our lot? Is the city planning on putting a porta potty in their lot? You know, any of those kinds of things. I don't know whether or not there's any discussion of that that's been part of the preparations you've been doing or not.
No.
Okay.
As far as individual wide spots, there's concern.
Yeah.
But there's no way to cover every white spot. And I guess it's one of those things where, you know, we're a public office. We're going to be open on Monday at the time of the eclipse. If there's some people that choose to park in our parking lot and view the eclipse and they have to use a restroom,
you'll let them come in the building.
I'll let them come in. I don't foresee that being a really good viewing area, mostly because the vegetation that's on the west side of our parking lot is going to restrict view.
Yeah, if they do it, they'll park there and go down to the fairgrounds.
Or,
yeah.
You know, and the school's going to, no, school won't be in session, so the school parking lot is going to be completely and totally empty.
Yeah.
And so I would think that if somebody's going to want to view in our area, they're going to go across the street to the parking lot for the school.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily worried about people wanting to view specifically from, say, the road parking lot. It's just I think that people are going to park any place and every place they can in that immediate vicinity, and then they'll walk over to maybe the school parking lot or down to the fairgrounds or something. But if they just park there, they're still going to have restroom facilities, and that's really my concern. I'm not, I know you're going to be open and so forth, but I'm figuring people are going to park anywhere and everywhere like they do with, around the fair, only on a mega scale, and then they'll walk to maybe the fairgrounds or whatever it is for the actual.
Yeah, and if they walk to the fairgrounds, we'll have plenty of facilities there, and even at 7th and Harney, it would just be a convenience for them in the parking area, or when they get done watching the eclipse and they walk back to their car and they go, oh my gosh, I got to use a restroom, and there's a 4-hour-long traffic jam trying to get out of town.
And I guess being kind of the Scrooge McDuck to the whole thing, but if there's this huge flow of people looking for places to park, I may close off our parking lot. I mean, because we're still trying to do business there. And I don't know that I'd actually allow anybody to come in here and park if they weren't doing business in our office or with John.
Yeah.
And that might be the way that I actually handle that. Instead of just allowing a free-for-all, I might actually close it off to public parking.
Well, and if you put some there at 7th and Harney, that probably is going to be close enough, if you will.
And we can probably stage something down towards that corner rather than having it up behind the fence more westerly. Yeah. If it was down by the corner where the traffic, walking traffic, would likely pass.
Yeah. I mean, road department's going to be open, but as Roy correctly points out, the school's going to be closed. And I figure the school parking lot is really.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I do not know there's meetings going on. I do not know if the schools are considering this at all. But
yeah. Okay.
Well, we've got the fairgrounds coming. You've obviously got that. That's our concern.
Yeah.
So,
right.
The other concerns.
Roy, the other question was closing Harney Street. I think we've always done that Tuesday night for Wednesday morning in the past.
Yeah. See, where we had issues this last year was we closed the street, but then there was absolutely nothing going on, and you could still see from basically 3rd to 7th.
Right.
People, even though we had it closed, they were going through our fueling facility back into the street and going full length and then sweeping out the other side.
Yeah.
And so if there isn't any reason to close it, I don't want to close it until we absolutely have to. If you want to park a truck sideways in the road so it's visibly blocked, that tends to keep people out.
Right.
But what we had this last year, we're trying to fuel, and people are pouring through the fueling facility to go around the barriers just to go on through and hit 7th Street and go on about their way.
Right.
And so I don't want that.
In the past, some of the rationale for closing that early was to bring in things like the carnival, things like rodeo equipment, and we haven't done that. The year 2 years ago, we had the fire truck display there. So I don't have a big need to close it super early either, I guess, in light of your concerns about people trying to circumvent.
That can be a decision that's made just prior to, if something changes and all of a sudden we need to utilize a street, and that's what we've always done in the past.
Yeah.
But this last year, because there were, carnival wasn't there, and a few other things weren't there, it left Harney wide open, and people, they hate to be inconvenienced, and they seen a crack.
Right.
Now, the other thing is we normally put up cyclone fencing, and that wasn't done. So if it had been fenced off, then they wouldn't have been using it. It's like one or the other. Either we need to have things occupying the street so it's obviously closed, or to physically close it. Either way, I don't care when it is, but we have to have one.
I think the point of this was to not close it any sooner than they could get the porta potties in place, so I don't think we have a problem.
No, I think we do. I think we're fine, and I wouldn't even have a problem, I don't think, closing it Wednesday night for Thursday, because Thursday is when we're moving in our animals and things get a little chaotic there.
Well, when you say Wednesday night, you have to be careful, because I do the closure on our normal working time, so I don't have to pay overtime to employees. So, and it's a lot easier to do it first thing in the morning, because there is no traffic.
Right.
and you can get out there, get the road blocked off before people really get up and get going. So I would much rather do it in the early morning like we normally do.
Okay.
But pick your day. I really, it doesn't make any difference.
Let's play it by ear, but I would say Wednesday morning early would be just fine at this point, in my book, unless you can think of some other question.
Well, and something may change.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Okay.
You know,
we would love to have some great big thing come in that makes that change. But
yeah.
Barring that, we'll keep
okay.
It.
Okay. Yeah. Oregon State University 4-H Shooting Sports would like to rent or borrow one and maybe both of our big tents for their state shooting sports contest in Albany at Albany Rifle and Pistol Club in June. Told them I would bring that to them. One of the things we had talked about when we bought those was the ability to rent them and do a little revenue recovery. I don't think they're opposed to paying for them. I don't think they have a whole bunch of money to do so, but and I don't think we've ever established. We did rent those to Ryan Temme, didn't we? We didn't. That wasn't a trade. That was a rent. Do you remember? Does anybody remember what we charged them?
$500
for the pair.
I thought so.
Is that?
Mostly because I went, is that all?
So I'd like to be able to tell them, yes, they can borrow them, or yes, they can rent them, and how much it would be if you guys approve.
Well, as long as they're prepared to pay for any damage.
And I believe they are.
And then the $500, that's been established. Was that for a time period?
It was for just the use of the for that event, and then we recovered them shortly after. And we can confirm that. I don't remember who that would have gone through. Amy, the payment, or
I think I remember.
The event itself is 3 days with setup 4, so we would set up the day prior.
The Albany one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a weekday, not a weekend, so it wouldn't conflict with any potential use here.
I guess the only other thought I have is that if, you know, in that industry, you have to go somewhere. So if the next best thing for them is $1,000, then I wouldn't have a problem charging $750. So, you know.
Yeah, I've done no investigation to know what they're worth on a rental. Would you like me to do that? I can tell you I don't think Shooting Sports has $750 to spend on it.
Do they have $500 or $400?
I'll ask. I don't know.
Well, do it because it's going to come up again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's have some research.
Yeah. Okay. We should find out.
I'll see what I can find. Michelle has an update on glasses. We booked or are in the process of booking and creating the contract for Johnny Cash hosts the Grand Ole Opry for our Friday night show. It'll be a Friday matinee after the senior barbecue, and then a Friday night show as well. He's bringing in 4 or 5 or 6 other musical tribute folks that will be Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and that sort of thing. I think it's a pretty good show. Jimmy Ray, who plays Johnny Cash, is the same guy we had 2 years ago now. That was one of our most well-attended shows. We had about 600 people standing there watching him, and it was very, very good. So we're excited to have him back for Friday. We don't have our Saturday lineup yet, but we're working on it.
I was bummed we didn't bring the poster. He made an awesome poster.
Oh, we should have, yeah, very cool poster. We should have brought one. Michelle and I just met with Art at Bigfoot Beverage, and in addition to the sponsorship that they offer every year, and they're offering up again, we're going to host a craft beer festival on Saturday under one of our big tents, and we're very excited about that. Art thinks he can bring in probably very easily 10 to 15 craft brew vendors to demo their wares, and we already have a nice, although rain-soaked poster for that, and Art's getting out the word. So I think that'll be a very fun event as well. That'll be Saturday during the day, noon to 4. We're in discussions with a Motorsports Group. I may have mentioned this last month. I went to sponsored by the same company that did the monster truck rides for us this year. This past year, they hosted a whole monster truck sporting event in Prineville that I went to, and it was really really quite well done. I had about 10 different monster trucks, including barrel races for the public, where the public could come in and sign up to run their Volkswagen Rabbit around the barrels, and then they did quad races as well. And it was a well-attended event. They've looked at our arena and said, yeah, it's large enough to accommodate just barely, but we think we can do it there. So we're in the process of looking at the costs of those and trying to figure out how to offset the expense, but I'm hopeful we'll have that as well as a rodeo this year. Michelle has a glasses update. I think that's all I had on my list.
Glasses update isn't much other than I chatted with Josh Williams of Depot Bay Fire, who's coordinating that all for making that large order, and so he was great to work with. It was also just nice to make a direct connection with one of the providers of services during the end of the world on the eclipse day. So anyway, I've given him our input in terms of like how to put the web address, if that's what is going on there. I know that that's being coordinated with the county. They were appreciative of the money that the fair kicked in for that to enable the purchase of even more glasses that will be distributed. And I don't remember exactly how many he said he'd have on hand for us, but it was a great quantity.
The dollar amount we're committing is $2,500. Yeah. I thought it was $2,000. No, you're not looking at the right minutes. You should have gotten the corrected minutes.
I did.
What you guys discussed. No, you didn't. There was another set that was sent to you that actually corrected that. And based on when we went back and listened to it, we had that discussion. We talked about $1,500 and $2,000. Then what we decided was we're not going to set a dollar amount. We're going to go back and determine what they utilized here, what we could afford. And so that I went back and looked at the budget, had the discussions with Josh. And what they need kind of overall to get these things. So what we came up with was 25. They actually wanted more, and I said no.
Okay.
So are you finished with your report now on mm-hmm. on the solar eclipse thing after last month? Weren't you going to attend?
Yeah, I and Roy attended a meeting hosted by Lincoln County residents at the McLean Beach Fire Hall on eclipse planning. Why do you want to comment on that?
Well, other than it's still a work in progress.
Yeah.
Of course, all the emergency response agencies are concerned about their inability to respond. Other than stationing people here and there, they don't really have quite a hard set plan yet. ODOT. Of course, their concern is traffic on Highway 101. They're afraid that 101 is going to become a parking lot, basically just prior to the eclipse, and then probably for hours afterwards. And they're aware of the situation. I don't know yet that they have a plan, other than they're going to have a lot of people basically on hand. There was a comment or short conversation about fender benders and about how normally. You're supposed to leave the vehicle where it's at and wait for law enforcement to respond for an investigation. It sounds like basically ODOT's going to start just pushing the vehicle out of the way. But other than that, everybody's still kind of in the planning stage. When they start talking about possible attendance, it varies from 40,000 to a million or more. And it's really going to be totally dependent upon the weather. I've actually got in my budget $1,000 that I'm going to send to the National Weather Service for them to actually forecast clouds.
Doom and gloom.
I kind of figured that everybody expects weather people to be wrong anyway.
Right.
And so it'll just blend right in with everything else that they do. So anyway, that's where my money's going.
That's good.
It would be nice if ODOT would bring a supply of those LED large signs that
they'll have all kinds. They're going to have those signs posted.
It's going to be
congestion ahead as you enter Lincoln County.
My understanding from that ODOT guy was they're not planning on, they're going to be working, but they're not planning on a normal work day.
Right.
Rather than trying to do any maintenance activities or anything, they're simply going to reposition a bunch of their people around. They're going to put up the signs you're talking about. And it's basically their whole intent is going to be to keep the traffic moving. As Roy pointed out, for instance, like in planned vendors, they're simply going to tell you, I know what the normal rule is, but this is an exception. Get off to the side of the road so traffic can continue and exchange your information there and that kind of thing. That was my understanding of what the...
With law enforcement sitting there, they were all agreeable to that. And I know our sheriff's department, they've already are changing their schedule for that. It'll be all hands on deck for that day, or it could be days leading up to and a day afterwards. But yeah, they're changing their rotation to man up, so we'll see.
As Roy correctly pointed out, it's highly weather dependent. I mean, particularly if we have a good projection of a nice clear day, I mean, this entire area could literally become a parking lot. The work is ongoing, I guess. Summarize, the work is ongoing through emergency services director Jenny Damaris and sheriff's office, and I kind of keep tabs on that. I was going to ask another question. What are we going to, given the eclipse scenario, when are we going to reopen Barney? Are we going to wait till Tuesday morning to reopen it then? When are we going to reopen Barney?
I would think that Harney being closed and being able to be used as parking during the eclipse on Monday would make sense, and there's probably no reason to open it until Tuesday, is there?
Well, I think normally we open it on Monday morning, but under the circumstances, I tend to agree with Todd that maybe we should close it.
Usually everybody clears out Sunday night after the fair.
Right.
Yeah.
But if the fair is going on until through Monday.
Yeah.
Eclipse, then most likely we wouldn't open it any earlier than Tuesday morning. And if the place is a parking lot, then obviously you can't open it up, then we'll open it up when it's clear.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is just come, 5 a.m., open it up, and people aren't prepared. They got a tent set up. I don't know what we're going to have there, but we'll open it up when it's safe to do so.
That's a deviation from the usual plan. Do we need to let the city know that?
They'll know.
Okay.
The other thing I comment I was going to make, it may have been made at our last meeting, was with respect to the food vendors you're bringing in. Whether or not they plan on closing up the shop Sunday as they usually do, or whether given the eclipse they intend to go and or you intend to have them go ahead and stay.
We're encouraging them to stay.
Be available, Wendy. You want the story there?
We're encouraging them to stay. Right now what I've got on our vendor app is a line that says yes, no, maybe on staying for Monday. The one of the food vendors, I didn't look at Toto's to see if she's going to be here, but the one said, she was interested. So people in general, especially the food vendors, see that value. They're seeing that sticking around, there's going to be people eating that day. I don't know how many of our other vendors will necessarily stick around, but people want to be there. So we're encouraging them to be there. But we're not making it mandatory. We're not requiring anybody to stay. So.
They may have other obligations or whatever it is, but I just wondered what we were doing with that.
And we're only allowing them to move. So we close at 6 on Sunday. They can move out Sunday night, and then there's no move out or in Monday until we shut down after things taper off from the eclipse. So we're not going to be trying to move out vendors Monday while the eclipse activities are going on. And that's very clearly stated and will be reiterated to them. Yeah. That you either move out immediately after the fair or you're there through the eclipse activities. Yeah.
So. Well, till
Monday afternoon.
Well, depending on how busy their traffic is. Right.
And you'll probably just want to hang out till Tuesday anyway because it's going to be busy.
Yeah.
So.
But we're finding that most of them don't have anywhere to go until later in the week, and when they realize how many people are likely here, most of them are saying, we'll stay Sunday night and be open till noon on Monday and worry about it after that. So I think we'll have a fairly good showing still on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm just curious, you know, is there a place that rumor has it you would have the best vantage point?
Do
we know of that? I mean,
they're talking about different things. You know, the whole Arlock area. Oh. I think.
Yeah, kind of Depot Bay. That's kind of ground zero.
Lincoln City to the edge of Newport, and towards the, you know, there could be lots of people on the beach. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing I haven't looked at, I have no idea where the tides are that morning at about the eclipse time. It could be people going up the mountain, heading up to the top of Otter Rock, you know, going up the road and seeing where they can climb to get to the top of Otter Rock or a crest. You know, I don't know.
That kind of thing is why Roy was talking earlier, UODOT people, and we were talking about porta potties and stuff. I mean, every place in this, let's just fundamentally say Newport, Lincoln City, or every place along 101 where somebody might conceivably pull off, park, whatever it is, watch the eclipse. You know, that's the big kind of issue, if you will, because that is fundamentally completely uncontrolled. Mm-hmm. At least if they're using the fairgrounds or some of the other areas in Newport, we have some planning and control ability. But if they just, you know, there's a lot of pull-off spots, for instance, up at
Beverly Beach
area. Yeah. If they just start pulling off the road there, other than the sheriff putting a bunch of people up and down there, I don't know how you're going to...
One of the things people I think are not realizing is that eclipse is at 10 o'clock in the morning. The sun's going to be in the eastern sky, and you've got to be in a place where the sun is up, or you're not going to see it. And so even I'm curious, even at the fairgrounds, I don't think the sun is much higher than the coastal hills, even at the fairgrounds. And I'm sort of anxious to see what we're going to be able to see from there. On the beach, you may be, you know, depending on where you are, you may have to be right at the water level in order to look over the cliff to see the sun coming up in the east.
Good point.
Yeah. No,
everybody seems to think that this is going to happen over the ocean with an unimpeded view, but you're going to have to turn around if you're looking west.
Given at the shadow, it's actually going to be in the ocean.
You'd see the shadow coming at you from the ocean.
That's what you'll see. They're not going to be looking so much at the sun as seeing this big darkness coming, the veil coming across. That's
Of course, it's going to be August, so that means in terms of relationship of the sun and the earth, and it's going to be an optimum.
It'll be more northerly and higher in the sky than it would be in the winter.
Than it is in the winter.
Yeah.
So it is going to be an optimum time of year in that sense. It's not going to be so difficult.
Actually, by late August, days will be getting significantly shorter because the solstice is mid-June, so it'll be 60 days after the solstice, and the days will be getting significantly shorter again.
But it still seems to me like the days are still
pretty long. Longer than they are right now,
so
absolutely.
Just real quick, out of curiosity, what about Toledo? You know, what's the talk?
Toledo's been talking about this for years.
No, but I mean, like, are they part of... It just seemed like... I'm sorry, if I were coming to see the eclipse for one, I'd go to Madras, but I also wouldn't necessarily go to the coast where that view is, but maybe inland where it's going to be sunny and I got a big open field and I'm going to be able to see. So is Toledo all part of this big planning for the end of the world?
I don't know. I haven't actually been to any city council meetings for a while. I don't know what the discussion is.
I can tell you this. Of course, the city council actually brought that up three years ago. The first time I ever heard about this was at a joint board of commissioners city council in Toledo. And they were saying, what are you doing to promote it? When I first read that,
I don't know if they actually plan on extending their Wooden Bow Show for an extra day. I have not heard anything.
I haven't heard anything from Bud either, other than, not anything directly.
So are they part of these joint meetings that are going on?
Not the ones that I've attended. And they've been dividing the meetings up, and they had one in Walport last week, I believe. I've been attending the transportation ones. They've had separate ones for like emergency response solely. They went down and met with, they had a community meeting in Wolfport. I'm not sure what the discussion was there because Wolfport's
outside of
I meet with each of the city managers once a month. We get together regularly to do, to discuss things in the county. This has been a topic on the agenda for the last three meetings, I think, and it's coming up next week on our topic. Yeah. And there is, the city manager from Toledo is there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that they're not aware of all this.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious because it seems like when we burst at the seams, people are going to naturally move. You know, in inland to Toledo,
yeah,
to whatever.
The thing is, Toledo is not really set up for mass.
Where
mass
Toledo's going to get hit is when the highway gets shut down and everybody's driving out the Bay Road, and they've got 15,000 cars coming through downtown. Yeah,
and we're actually installing toll gates. And so that will be our rate.
We need change machines on the porta toilets.
Just put it right across the street.
Sell tickets.
That's right.
Well, I would assume that Jenny Cabrera says, because she's a county emergency services person, is taking into consideration that Toledo, so that's the other area, is doing at least something to keep them updated. I don't know that, can't guarantee that, but you would think she would.
Well, just to be giving credit where credit is due, the first person in this county to bring this up was a retired postmaster of Otter Rock.
Really?
He brought it to the chamber, and everybody looked at him, and because he was a little bit eccentric, they kind of said, oh, do we really want to get involved with this guy? You know, because he really was into it, and he attended. Went back east and attended the solar eclipse conferences. And
really?
But then he just disappeared. I don't know what happened to him, but anyway.
I will also say that Michelle and I got an email from somebody that we didn't know last week or the week before, requesting that we consider moving the fair date since there's ample time to do it between now and August, since there's a solar eclipse coming and the town's going to be busy. I responded nicely saying there's not enough planning time and we have been discussing this and thank you for your input. So.
Tom Zajacek.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lengthy tangential. So we're going to come back to the agenda. And if there's nothing else on A and B, we're going to go to C, master plan update.
Mr. Weisman and I met with the consultants to discuss some revisions that the committee we had reviewing the proposal that they made to us had suggested. The consultants have now gotten back to us with a revised scope of work and a revised schedule and actually reduced some of the costs associated with it. And I haven't had a chance to give that to Mr. Weisman yet to review so that he and I can sit down there. But it looks like they've been very responsive to our concerns. And in essence, there's a couple of major points that it'll do. One is they're going to restructure some of the public gatherings to actually, you know, so they can get, not only get the input that they're going to get for this thing, but then develop some plans, some ideas that they can take back out then with at a point and saying, here's something to actually look at, rather than it's kind of front-loaded to try and get all the ideas first and then not as much on the back end of it. And then we decided, we had a lengthy discussion about whether or not it would really be beneficial to do take a big group and go do tours. And the end result was that, of that was we came to the conclusion it would not be. And I think Mr. Weisman has some very good input on that when we discuss that. We have an opportunity, and we will offer this up. I myself would really like to go see, I know we've been talking about the facility in Umatilla County. That's not one that I've ever visited. I would like to kind of just look at that one. I just have hearing very good things from those that have seen it. But I can do that on my own. I don't need to take a group. I don't need to have, you know, that kind of stuff. I can get my own input. And we'll offer that up, for especially for the Fair Board of Commissioners, any of the key stakeholders here that want to, you know, do something like that. We can kind of try and arrange those kinds of meetings. They will, though, bring in information related to those facilities and have that available to us in the public process here. So we're going to have a lot of that key information. We'll have some visuals. They'll talk about amenities and costs and those kinds of things. So that information will be available to us. It's just that we felt that, you know, at this point, we don't need to do the big tour.
To be clear about it, what we've done is removed the tour component from their scope of work.
Right.
If there's somebody who wants to see one of the facilities or whatever it is, you know, we will arrange for that outside of the consultant's scope. They will, no longer have any responsibility for organizing or conducting or whatever it is. A tour, and as Wayne says, it's going to be basically on an ad hoc basis. Right. I, for instance, have seen all of the facilities. But if we have somebody who really wants to see one or more of them, then we'll arrange for an opportunity for those folks to take a look on, as I say, an ad hoc basis. But that particular component has been removed from the scope of work of the consultant.
So at this point,
Has the plan effectively been accepted?
Mr. Weisman and I have to do our final review. And again, everybody's kind of, we generally, you know, the idea of going forward with this has generally been accepted. What we needed to do was formalize the scope. Now, with this scope, I can put this in the form of an actual agreement and contract. And the last thing we'll have to do with this, the one thing that'll be important, is to go back in. And now, you know, we've got some general timelines reflective on when we start the agreement, you know, moving forward, doing some things. But we'll actually try to plug in some dates now for when we do things and when deliverables will be coming to us and what the schedule might look like. So that's the next step.
To answer your question, we're at the 95%+ point in terms of retaining these people to start working on this.
To take hold on this.
Okay. What we have left to do is, I would describe as fundamentally just some cleanup and then
contract
to present the actual final agreement to the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners. We're very close to that.
All right. County staff update.
Jack says he doesn't have anything. He's out sick today.
Nothing more on that. Just a quick note that we're in the middle of budget season. So I've been looking at numbers quite a bit. I'm looking at numbers related to also our relationship with Extension. Pulling some stuff together. I think I'm going to, you know, I've been working on some arrangements with the legal side of Extension to make sure we get all of our agreements and contracts together. But it's been really helpful for me to sit down with Todd and talk numbers. And so we've been pulling some of those together, and I will have the budget. I'd like to bring that back to you to take a look at next month. So it's the budget season right now.
And I had one other question, that is, you know, it's been about 3 or 4 months since we discussed the signage. And I haven't pushed it because I didn't, it was that critical, but yeah. The signs still read that it is the Fairgrounds. And then related to that, I assume that 2 years from now we're still going to be technically the Lincoln County Fair Board, correct? Our name will never reflect, there's no need for our name to reflect the Commons in what this group is.
No.
Okay.
I think there's also maybe some statutory or other reasons why we want to formally remain the Fair Board.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
Statute.
Makes yeah, no, I just... No,
specific reference.
No, that would not change.
Right, okay.
No.
So, yeah, so if the name, if we could get those signs...
Yeah, we'll talk.
I thought we had it worked out. So anything else from staff update? Otherwise, I guess we're adjourned until April 13th.
I did have a quick question for Todd. Are we going to have an area down in the fairgrounds, as we usually do for vendors or others, to dry camp?
So we're even talking about expanding. I'm probably going to put some 4-H groups down in that little swale to the west by the track. We'll make that some 4-H use, and then along the north fence, we're probably going to set up more camping there, just in anticipation of more people needing to camp.
You're talking on the east side of Harney and
east side of Harney. That green area on 7th and Harney will be a full vendor city. But then I think we'll put select people inside the fairgrounds fence, like 4-H families and some others on the west and on the north sides of the fairgrounds.
I'm sorry. I'm wondering about the area that is, like I say, on the east side of Harney and the north end of the property. If if you will, just north of the animal shelter.
Yeah, so that's
in there. Is that going to be a,
that's where the vendor city will I'm envisioning we're going to move in toilets and water supply there, maybe some limited power. Jack thinks he can get there, and that will be that green corner area of 7th and Harney will become the kind of the vendor city for any vendors that want to camp there.
I was going to say the vendors, their actual concessions are going to be where they've always been. You're talking about an area where they can dry camp.
But, yeah, where they can bring in their yeah, their camper or their travel trailer or tent. Yeah. And we've always used that for vendor camping before, but we've always made it completely dry. And we've had several vendors that have come in with either a trailer or tents. But this year we're letting them know that because of the logistics of trying to find a hotel, if they'd rather use that area, we are going to bring in some provisions to make it a little more comfortable for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One more quick thing. Wayne and I had discussions about the size of the bleachers and determined that they won't fit in the Thompson building, so we're still looking for some place to put those.
Well, can you give me the dimensions?
I've actually got a piece of paper that has them.
They are 13 feet high. That's going to be the big...
the door.
I can take that.
Yeah.
The dimensions.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So brainstorm, and if you come up with a great big covered space with huge doors that nobody's using, we'd love to know about it.
Free would be great. All right, we're all set. We're adjourned. Thank you.